All right, halfway to the weekend, halfway to more Mardi Gras parading with the crew of Argus and the St. Patrick's Day Parade on Metairie Road. Waiting to see about the Irish Channel Parade on Saturday. Same forecast as last week. Looks like Saturday could be stormy with some severe storms, and Sunday's going to be great. But last Saturday, I didn't get rain here at West End until, like, 10:30 at night. So, again, we'll learn more about that tomorrow and Friday. I'm Scoot on the air. I'm really glad you're with us. Scarlett Johansson is among those stars who refuses to take a picture with fans. And I've got a list of some other stars. We're going to talk about that this hour. And also, let me share with you, before I get to your calls, let me share with you another bit of hypocrisy. Now, the Trump administration is suing CBS News and 60 Minutes for $20 million, something like that. They're suing over the fact that 60 Minutes edited an interview with Kamala Harris during the campaign to make her look good. Well, what's funny about this is Fox News did that with Donald Trump all the time. Fox News did that too. So it's hypocritical to attack 60 Minutes for doing the same thing that Fox News did. Well, on top of that, yesterday, Fox host Sean Hannity edited a response from White House Press Secretary Karoline Leavitt that made it seem as if she got the best of a reporter when it really didn't turn out that way. So Sean Hannity had her response edited so it made the White House Press Secretary look really good when in reality she didn't win the argument the way it was presented. And so, again, it's designed to make the Trump White House look good. That's exactly what Trump is criticizing CBS 60 Minutes for doing. So, again, I love to point out the hypocrisy. And some people don't like that, and some people think that this is somehow bashing Trump. I don't know how telling the truth, I don't know how pointing out hypocrisy is bashing anybody. And there's more talk about Trump wanting to make Canada a new state. I don't think we're going to get to that this afternoon, but we can talk about that tomorrow. Let's see. Also, I want to talk about Rob Lowe. And Rob Lowe said something that I really hadn't noticed, but I've been to some movies recently, and I don't remember seeing any sex scenes recently. Rob Lowe said that back in the 80s, every time he got a script, he would just turn to page 73. I mean, he's kind of joking about this. But he said, I would always turn to page 73, and by page 73, there was a sex scene. He said, I don't care if it was about priests and nuns. There was a sex scene, page 73. And there were a lot of sex scenes back in the 80s. What was one of the greatest sex scenes in a movie? And we don't have to go into details about what happened in the sex scene, but what was a great sex scene in a movie? The first one that comes to my mind is the movie Body Heat, with William Hurt and Kathleen Turner. And it was hot. It was humid. This is along the Atlantic coast of Florida, the upper Atlantic coast of Florida. Hot and humid. A lot of sweat. It was just steamy. And she was standing in the doorway, and her dress seemed to be, kind of soaked with sweat, and he came in. Anyway, again, I'm not going into any more details here. But Body Heat with William Hurt and Kathleen Turner, that was a really sexy scene. What's another really sexy scene from a movie that comes to mind? The Oakenheart Jewelers Talk and Text line is 504-260-1870. 504-260-1870. We've also been talking about Mayor Cantrell and the city council needs to punish her, and there are things that maybe they can do. And also, we've been talking about the death penalty. I don't see why you can't give a death row inmate fentanyl or morphine, give them too much, and they're going to just drift away and die a painless death. Why is it so complicated to bring life to an end? I don't get this. And they come up with this formula, this cocktail for lethal injection. I don't understand this. Just give them fentanyl, give them morphine. They're dead. If you want to have the death penalty, then, have the death penalty. If you want to join us, the Oakenheart Jewelers Talk and Text line, 504-260-1870. Let's go to Algiers. John, you're on WWL. Thanks for hanging on, John.
Hey, Scoot. Look, I haven't been in the oil field for 40 years. We deal a lot with nitrogen, and we all take this training. And... if you're unlucky enough to be exposed to nitrogen in a big cloud, like a sudden release, you're just going to, before you even know anything that happened, you're just going to be dead, and that's going to be it. You're never going to know what hit you.
So it would be a really fast, now, so nitrogen gas would be a really fast execution.
If you're in a massive cloud, right. But,
right.
I remember the instructor saying in one of the classes that if you were in, say, like a lab setting, and you were at your lab station or whatever, and there was a nitrogen tank in there or a line, and it got a leak in it and slowly displaced the you know, put nitrogen in the room and displaced the oxygen, that you really wouldn't know what was going on. You wouldn't, you would just become drowsy. You'd put your head down on the desk, and you would go to sleep. And that would be it. And he said that it would be one of those situations, or it could be, and it has been in the past, where other people have gone by and say, oh, look, something's wrong with Carol. Her head's slumped over. And they go in the room, and within 2 or 3 seconds, they're laying on the floor. And sometimes person after person goes in and this happens. And really, none of them actually know what hits them. So as far as being a humane way to go, you know, he said there's no clutching your throat or coughing or gasping for air. It just happens, you know.
It sounds like that would be sort of equivalent to a death from too much fentanyl or too much morphine.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost exactly the same. The only thing, you know, when it's the death penalty, you kind of know it's going to happen to you. But, I mean, if you've got a death sentence and they're going to hang you or they're going to shoot you or they're going to inject you with whatever, I mean, you know that's happening as well. So
right.
Nitrogen death would be no more cruel than anything else, in my opinion.
All right.
You know.
But, John, I appreciate that information because, I'm sorry, do you want to say something else?
Yeah, sex scene. 9.5 weeks, Mickey Rourke and Kate Bassinger.
Boy, how did I not think about that one? Kim Bassinger, yes.
Right, right.
Yeah, they had a few sexy scenes in that movie. All right, John, I appreciate the call. All right, so again, what's the big deal then? If nitrogen gas is going to be an easy go-to-sleep death, then if we're going to have the death penalty, then why not just use that? Why are there all these court battles? And if there's a court battle over that, then use fentanyl. Use morphine. I don't understand this complication. Again, I'm ambivalent about the death penalty, but if we're going to have it, it seems like there are easy ways to end life, and I don't know why it gets so complicated in the courts. All right, Goose is in Maurepas. Goose, you're on WWL. Good afternoon. Hello, Goose.
Hey, Mr. Scoot. How you doing?
I'm good, sir. How are you?
The fella just before me just stole my thunder.
Well, you say it your way. You agree with him?
100%. I've been in the chemical and refinery field since 1988. I've actually witnessed nitrogen asphyxiation happen to people after the fact. And we actually had an addition to a plant where they replaced some of our breathing air. And they had commissioned the breathing air, and it just so happened we had a crowd, and one of the supervisors was giving a demonstration, and he had to go into fresh air, which that's a SCBA. It's fully enclosed over your face. So he hooked up to the oxygen, plant oxygen, so he could give the demonstration and go into a hazardous area. Well, as we're watching, he just slumps down and falls asleep. So we run over there and pull the mask off, and he comes right back. Come to find out, during construction, they accidentally lined up nitrogen to our breathing air. So he lived, and we asked him, what was your last thoughts? He's like, I was eating bread at Thanksgiving at my mother's table.
Wow.
How was that cruel, Scoot?
How was that cruel? Yeah, it sounds like this nitrogen gas is an easy way to go. So I don't understand why there's this big court battle.
I had brought that up numerous times. There's no chemicals to mess with. We call it the silent killer in the chemical industry. And just like the fellow before said, you are taught classes. that there's a man down, do not go get him. Because as soon as you start walking toward that man, if it's nitrogen enriched, you're going down too.
Wow.
There's no foaming at the mouth. There's no nothing. You just get asphyxiated. The oxygen in your lungs is displaced by nitrogen, and you go to sleep.
So I don't under Goose, I really appreciate you listening. I appreciate the call. I don't understand why this is a court battle then. This seems like a very humane way to end life. So if the guy's on death row and we have the death penalty, let's do it. If we're not going to have the death penalty, that's a different conversation. Janice is in New Orleans. Janice, you are now on WWL. Good afternoon.
Yes, Scoot. First of all, if I had my way, I would have a whiteboard. And I would play fair with all the criminals. I'd have the word life on one side, death on the other, with a line down the middle. And I would list on each side. You murder, you die. Sex with a child, you die. Sell drugs, you die. Those would be my big three. And I would let them know. I'm sorry, but I don't have sympathy to people who murder. I really don't. And insofar as it being humane, it's not humane when they kill people. Are you still there?
No, it's true. I mean, it's true. No, it's not yeah. humane. And, you know, if you talk about...
If somebody comes to murder you, do you think they're going to say, oh, Mr. Payson, how would you like me to kill you? They don't care.
No, they don't. I understand that.
I don't have any sympathy for them. I'm sorry. I just don't.
I don't either. I don't either, but I still have ambivalent feelings about this. But I don't know why it is so difficult to bring life to an end when it seems like there are things out there, like now I'm learning nitrogen gas is one way, fentanyl and morphine, other ways that are very humane deaths. So why is this a problem? Why is this in the courts? If you're going to execute somebody, execute them. If not, well, then don't execute them. But it's absurd to have death row if you don't enforce the death penalty. All right, Jack, is it? No, look, I got to take a break here. We're going to come right back with more. Jack, if you're on hold, just stay with us and we'll come back. Also, we've got to get to some of your text messages, so all of that is coming up. What's another really sexy scene in a movie? We've got Body Heat, and we've got the sexy scenes in 9 1/2 weeks. What's another movie that had a really sexy scene about making love? Well, I just thought of one. This was really benign in terms of being graphic, but it was very, very sensuous. I thought the love scene in Romeo and Juliet, the Zeffirelli version of Romeo and Juliet. I thought that was a really sexy scene. All right, we'll continue to talk about that. Also, I'll give you a list of some of the celebrities that do not take photographs with their fans. And should they? I've Scoot on the air. We'll talk about that when we come back on WWL. What are the movies that had the sexiest scenes? And, you know, I think Rob Lowe has a point, and I hadn't really thought about it. I haven't been to a movie recently that I can remember that had a good sex scene in it. And he's saying that they don't have them today like they used to in the past. What was a good movie with a good sex scene? We've got 9 1/2 weeks. We've got Body Heat. What about Dirty Dancing? That was a pretty steamy love scene. Titanic. You know, they were on the ship, but they were in the car. Ghost, I mean, didn't she kind of have one? Yeah, there was one in Ghost. Eyes Wide Shut. You know, the one about the Swingers Club with Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman? Yeah. All right, if you want to join us with a comment, the Okunard Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. Before I get back to your calls, Scarlett Johansson says that she does not like to take pictures with fans, even though fans are offended. There's an article in InStyle magazine, and she talks about this. She said, I know it really offends a lot of people. It doesn't mean that I'm not appreciative, of course, but people are fans. They're happy to see me. But I always say to people, I'm not working. I mean, is that a good excuse? You're not working? If you're a celebrity in public, I get that you're not working, but if you have fans that come up to you and want to take a picture with you, I mean, that's the least you can do for them. But Scarlett Johansson is not alone. Billie Eilish does not do pictures with fans. Jennifer Lawrence, Amy Schumer, they don't do pictures with fans. Joaquin Phoenix, Justin Bieber, Amy Poehler, Cameron Diaz, Prince Harry, Chris Pratt. Some of those who don't do pictures with fans. And I think that's, you know, doing a selfie with somebody is replacing the autograph. And an autograph is a way of actually proving that you've met somebody famous. And the selfie today replaces the autograph. Nobody asks for autographs really anymore. And they want selfies. And they can show their friends that they actually met you. When it happens to me, I am glad to take a picture with any fans. Anybody who listens to the show who wants to take a selfie with me, sometimes somebody will say, oh man, my husband loves you. Can I take a picture with you and show him? Or, yeah, my wife listens to your show. Can I take a picture and show her? You know, I'm happy to do it. And I think that's the least that anybody in that position can do is, you know, agree to do a selfie with them. All right, let's go to Jack in River Ridge. Hey, Jack, you're on WWL. Thanks for hanging on.
Hey, I don't know if this is exactly the same thing, but it seems I read something a few years ago that the night that Pat Mahomes was going to propose to his wife, he took her out to a nice restaurant, and because nobody bothered them, he picked up the check for everybody in the restaurant.
Wow. Yeah, that's pretty cool. I mean, look, I mentioned earlier in the show that this was just totally obnoxious. I mean, it's not that some people aren't a little bit obnoxious, but somebody came up to me and I was having dinner with my girlfriend at the time, and I think my son was with us, and there were French fries on my plate, and this guy's talking to me and he starts eating the French fries off my plate. And I'm thinking, dude, wait a minute, this is not appropriate.
That's too much.
So, yeah, I mean, I like when... it's nice when people don't say something, but it's okay if they do. As I've said, when I meet people, it gives me a chance to put a face with the audience. But if somebody wants to take a picture with you, I mean, I feel like that's the least that I can do.
And the sex, I don't know if you're going to count this one, but if you watch Game of Thrones, there was plenty of sex every week.
I didn't watch that, but I would count that. Yeah, I would count. They had good sex scenes in there.
Aquaman with, I can't remember her name, little blonde. She was the queen of dragons or something like that. Yeah. Anyway,
yeah, I didn't see that.
It was funny every week. Yeah.
Was it an underwater sex scene?
No, it wasn't. No. He wasn't playing Aquaman in this particular case. Look, Scoot, I just had one question for you.
Yeah.
Whether or not you believe that Trump's strategy to bully people, you know, bully these countries by the use of tariffs is going to work. I think that he's going to do at least short-term damage the next few years on some companies that are doing business in these countries. Because even if they end the tariffs tomorrow, if you're a Canadian, are you going to buy American products if you can avoid it right now with Trump's attitude and the way he's trying to get them to become the 51st state?
Well, I think a lot of Canadians would easily boycott American products right now.
Right. So even
but again,
if they're available, he's doing damage.
But I think you bring up an interesting point, Jack. And in all of this, if things turn out well, none of this matters. And I feel badly for the little people who are going to be hurt in the process. But in every economic situation, there are winners and losers. Every economic change, there are winners and losers. If there are more winners than losers, then it's worth it. But in the end, Donald Trump is going to be judged on what he does in the end, not what he does in the beginning of his presidency. So, you know, we have to wait and see.
Right. Thanks for taking my call, Scoot.
Appreciate
the call.
You too. Let's go to Lynette in Diamond Head. Lynette, you're on WWL. Good afternoon. Hello, Lynette.
Hello?
Hello, Lynette, you're on WWL. Hello? Lynette, can you hear me?
Hello?
Yeah, Lynette, can you hear me? Okay, yeah, I guess you can't hear me. Let's go to Irvin in Hammond. Irvin, you're on WWL.
Hey, Scoot. The first hurdle... is the eighth Amendment, which guards against excessive and or cruel or unusual punishment. ACLU and other anti-death row advocates will use that a lot of times in courts. Also, a lot of civil rights advocates will use the fact that there's a disproportional number of people as far as races on death row and therefore subject to execution. So they, you know, they'll use that, the fact that, you know, an unusually large number of black people are on death row. The big thing, too, what it is, and I read this statistic, that 75% of the people on death row that have been convicted of homicide killed a white person. So, again, looking at demographics and the fact that a large number of crime, according to demographics, is black on black, this kind of stands out as an issue with the people that are on death row. Finally, I'll say most of the people on death row had public defenders. Nothing against them, if that's all you can afford. I promise you, they could have had a tape of O.J. killing Nicole Simpson and her boyfriend, just 100%, and his million-dollar lawyer team would make sure he never got close to death row. They would have kept doing extensions and delays, and he would have never seen death row. I'll give it to you.
But if O.J. Simpson had a public defender, he would have been found guilty easily.
Right. Yes.
Look, good points, Irvin. You know, I tend to focus on behavior, and I don't like to focus on race. And if you commit a crime, and if you have been found guilty by your peers, and if there's no doubt about that. And one of the reasons I'm ambivalent about the death penalty is that there have been so many people who have been close to death, and it's turned out that there's new DNA evidence that they're innocent. And it is far better, in my opinion, to let a guilty person go free than to execute an innocent person. I mean, that should never, ever, ever happen. And that's one of the reasons I'm ambivalent about the death penalty. But I'm commenting mostly not on the death penalty being right or wrong, but on this idea that why is it so difficult to humanely kill people when if you just give them too much fentanyl or too much morphine, they just go to sleep? And now we're learning that nitrogen gas just puts you to sleep. These judges need to stand up and just denounce this playing out of death penalty cases to the point where, you know, what does somebody have to be? Do you have to have somebody to spoon you while you're dying? Do you hold a nice stuffed animal and somebody's spooning you while you die? I mean, it's death. It's the friggin' death penalty. And you know, maybe death hurts. It might hurt. I mean, it might be humane, but it still might hurt a little bit. I mean, cruel and unusual, that's all subjective. It's up for interpretation. I get that. But there are so many humane ways to end life that I don't understand why these cases go on. And if we're not going to execute people, then let's end the death penalty. All right, if you've got a comment, the Okanagan Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. Here's a song we're dedicating to Mayor LaToya Cantrell, who defied the city council's ban on travel, and she went to a conference in Washington, D.C. anyway. It's because the mayor is a prima donna. Now, she just doesn't see anything except herself, and it's all coming to an end. It's joyously coming to an end October the 11th. I mean, officially, when somebody new takes office, but this city's going to be better off, in my opinion, without Mayor Cantrell. I hope the city council takes action. I'm Scoot, and we'll be back on WWL. We've been talking about some of the movies that had the sexiest scenes, and I thought about this because Rob Lowe is saying that movies don't have sex scenes like they used to. Pretty Woman had, I don't know if I just mentioned that, Pretty Woman had a nice sex scene in it. And again, one of the really subtle sex scenes that I remember as a young person was the scene in Romeo and Juliet. And I mean, it wasn't graphic at all, but you kind of knew what was about to happen there. All right, let's go to Ian with some of your text messages.
Romeo and Juliet's got a little controversial. That's got a little long in the tooth. Both of those actors that played Romeo and Juliet were 15 and 16 years old respectively. So yeah, it's a good thing it wasn't too graphic.
Yeah, and then, you know, and then there was a Pretty Woman with Brooke Shields, done in part in New Orleans. And there was some controversy about that because she was so young.
You don't mean... Well, that's Pretty Baby.
Pretty Baby.
Pretty Woman is Julia Roberts, right? Yeah,
that's right. Pretty Baby.
Yeah, no, Pretty Baby is
baby.
Pretty Baby is pretty weird. I'll read some text, but I would also like to just submit to the record, The Matrix Reloaded, the second Matrix movie, when Neo and Trinity get back together and they make the whoopee. Kind of the beginning of the movie. That's I mean, and I've never heard anybody say that before. There's a lot of kind of repeat submissions on the text line here. A lot of people saying, you know, Basic Instinct.
That was another
Fatal
movie.
Attraction,
yeah.
Or a lot of people are saying Billy Bob Thornton and Halle Berry in Monsters Ball. Let's see. Oh, and
you know, my friend Rhonda Shear was in a movie. It was a B movie, but it was a movie called Basic Training. And I saw that movie with her in her living room, and I tell you, she didn't look like she was in need of much training.
Here's a text that says, "The postman always rings twice." Are you familiar with
that
one?
Yes.
Yeah.
Some remember
people
that
suggested
one.
That.
Great idea.
Another sort of millennial bait movie with a steamy scene is Wild Things. With Denise Richards and Nev Campbell in the pool.
Yeah. That was another stage. You know, I knew we would get some good ones with our text line.
Yeah, I like, you know, Wild Things is not a great movie, but they've done a good job of kind of just like layering this sort of sexual tension into it throughout. So the pool scene is, you know, it is what it is. But the whole movie, you're kind of on the edge of your seat going, oh my God, what's going on with these people? A number of people also said Titanic, you know, where she puts her hand up against the window like that, and it kind of smears over the condensation.
Yeah, I did mention that one, but sure. I had not thought about Basic Instinct, and I had not thought about Wild Things or Pretty Baby.
Yeah, I got to go back and watch Fatal Attraction. I think I saw that when I was kind of too young to see it, you know, and I didn't quite clock what was going on. But I'd like to go back and check that out again.
I like that movie, but Fatal Attraction had several steamy scenes in it, and I thought it was just a great movie. Man, if you're ever thinking about cheating on your spouse, just watch that movie first before you actually dip into that pool.
And I'll leave you with this one. This is an extremely deep cut, but if anybody else is listening that knows this film, the payoff is going to be huge. Somebody texted in and said, David Cronenberg's Crash. Which I think was NC-17, maybe? Not Crash that had, like, Matthew Dillon and all those other people in it.
No, Crash.
Discount
it was,
Magnolia.
I saw that movie.
Where people are, like, turned on by the car accidents, right?
Well, essentially, they're turned on by car accidents, and they show up at car accidents, and their goal is to have sex with the bodies, bodies from a car accident.
I responded to the texter, and I said, we had a VHS copy of that in high school that we traded around like a gold bar.
Wow.
We like that movie
a lot. But that was a real strange direction to go in with a movie. And these people would show up at car crashes and, you know, they would want to, like, you know, do the bodies, which is why there's a name for necrophilia. You know, I would think that action wouldn't even have a name, that there would never be a name for that action because it's so deplorable, so horrible. But, you know, there's actually a name for it. All right. Yeah, we're going to come back to wrap up the show, but let me mention from the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture Calendar, on this day in 2016, Iron Maiden's personal Boeing 747 was badly damaged after colliding with a tow truck while grounded in Santiago, Chile. The band's crew and 20 tons of their equipment were not on board at the time of the crash, but two ground crew workers were injured. You know, Iron Maiden, Led Zeppelin had a 707 or a Boeing 720. I'm not sure which. They had one or the other. But Iron Maiden had a frickin' 747. I mean, there would be a lot of room there to do whatever you wanted to do. But, you know, I mean, you have all these lawyers that talk about if you've been hit by a big truck. You know, maybe they could, you know, start talking about if you've been hit by a big plane. I could just picture a parody of this where a lawyer would talk about if you've been hit by a giant plane, don't settle. Call me. I'm Scoot, and we'll be right back on WWL. Well, it was on this day in 1988. This was the number one song in America. One of those songs that some of us hate to admit that we really like. Rick Astley, Never Gonna Give You Up. A Vermont police officer fatally struck a cyclist. The police officer was a Sergeant Kyle Kapitensky, was in his cruiser. And you know what caused the accident? At the time the accident happened, he was cruising in his cruiser. And do you know what was on the video screen? He was watching a video titled Trans Women Confronting Matt Walsh Takes an Unexpected Turn. And the guy was watching this movie about, this video about trans people. You know, some people are just a little bit too obsessed with the whole trans thing. All right. Oh, hey, a movie that we didn't mention, and this is, you know, showing that our show is inclusive. A lot of people might have found the sex scene in Brokeback Mountain to be very sexy. All right. I'm Scoot. Want to thank Diane Newman, Ian Hoke, Market Manager Dan Barron, News Anchor Chris Miller, and Traffic with Courtney P. Sports Talk is next. And, yeah, thanks for being with us. As always, I'm Scoot, and hang in there. Love you, New Orleans.